Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we have George Dixon joining us, and he's on the phone now. But we're going to be talking about the Mayan calendar and sixth night and seventh day. How you doing, George?
I'm fine. Good evening.
Good evening, George. How are you?
I'm fine, Lila. How's life treating you?
Oh, very well so far.
That's great. That's really great, isn't it?
Good to have you with us this evening.
Same here, dear. How's the weather been where you are?
Beautiful today. A great, beautiful day. Tomorrow, the expected weather's not so good, but I enjoyed today.
Well, we've been having some warm weather this season, that's for sure. I'm not too far from you, and I believe that normally she's running about 10 degrees warmer than it normally is.
Oh, at least, don't you think? Yeah.
Yesterday was around in the 60s, which was kind of nice.
And this morning it was very warm and sunny. It got a little cooler toward the evening, and we're supposed to have some more typical December weather. But let's get into the sixth day. Is that what we're going to talk about?
It's sixth night.
Night, okay.
We're already in the sixth night now.
Sorry.
So
I'm a little bit behind there.
Lila's been a little bit behind on this stuff. We've been kind of forging ahead. No, but she's only in that she hasn't seen all the videos. Mm-hmm. And,
no, I wasn't able to see all of the ones that Leo saw.
Yeah. So the one on it with Callanan is one that I should have shown her. But what we're experiencing right now is that ascension of consciousness that he talks about that is supposed to happen in the sixth night, in sixth day and sixth night. Mm-hmm. And that transition is what we're doing now. And Lungol stated that we would be, right now, we would be feeling like those people that would make the transition, those people that would get through to 2012, you know, are the ones that will act within the zone.
Well, everyone will get through to 2012.
No, people will die before then. Many people will die, many people will die. But Lungol states that most people will go mad at this time, all right?
Well,
they'll actually start going mad.
What do you think about that, George?
Well, I agree with that. Instead of dying, I wouldn't say that they're going to be dying, but people are going crazy in their state of mind, because right now it's a matter of locking into some kind of a focus or an understanding.
That's
and,
right.
We would follow the neighbors. I mean, we're followers, not followers of people. But lately, we haven't been able to define where we wanted to follow or who to follow.
When Lungol says that people will go mad, what do you think he meant by that exactly?
They'll go crazy.
That's a word you can interpret in many ways.
Well, we become so damn complacent on things in our lives that, just by taking one away would disrupt the normal routines, and it would drive us crazy.
Well, I can go back to one of the examples that he gave about this time. He said, people are used to everything they do is even down to the cities and roads and walkways and everything else. Everything has a sign or a curve to it, and everybody's told basically what to do.
You mean like stay to the right?
Stay to the right.
Go to the left.
That's right.
Stop.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Caution.
But all of a sudden, you take away a stay to the right or a left that you're used to having, all right, and you don't know where to go.
Well, isn't that called civilization?
No.
Isn't that, when people are given direction, and manners, like if people are told to say please and thank you and be courteous, those are directions too. Isn't that what we call civilization? I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
But he's also saying that it's more of a prison that we are in.
Let's just take that. Let me be the devil's advocate. So you take away that structure. Before we had that structure, man was more like an animal, and we had chaos.
No,
so,
actually, before
so
we
let's,
had that,
let's
yeah.
understand this.
But before we became, but before we were actually animals, reduced to the level of animals. Okay. Prior to that, our species was a very grand species.
Well, let's deal with something more practical. Just like investing money, investing our hard-earned savings.
Mm-hmm.
For so many years, we would follow the advice for the managers that we pay to manage, you know, our finances and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the paradigm that we've used to, you know, to validate investment, to good or bad, et cetera, right now there are no laws and there are no boundaries that we use, you know, in, to do this. So right now, you know, in listening to advisors and so forth, we lost our confidence in what they could provide or what they could do for us, because I don't think they understand, because of predicting tides and so forth, are changing so damn fast. And there's so many variables, or options, I should say, within investments and so forth. So, you know, being practical, a person could go crazy trying to follow the market, you know, and to hold on or secure their security. At this point, they're left with no alternative but to do it themselves, because they have no confidence in, let's say, the structure that we have, because it's actually falling apart.
I see the middle people, those people that handle investments that you're talking about, and
yes.
They're really on the lower echelon. Those are people that have been totally brainwashed to believe something that simply isn't true. Because the people at the very top, those are the ones that are manipulating those markets.
Oh, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. But in the meanwhile, the manipulators have got to be paid. And
oh, yeah, and that's what they're doing right now. They're getting paid.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. Those middle people, those lower echelon people, those managers of these funds, and they are not top people.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that sell you products, they are just brainwashed to believe certain things, and they even have data to back it up. And the data that they're using is manipulated data, and they've been paid to go to all these conferences and things where they're schooled in how to...
Well, you're really talking more about not the mid-level.
Lower level.
The lower level, because the sales people,
mm-hmm.
if you will, who have to...
The people that would deal with people like me and you.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, because I remember years ago, I mean, I remember the training of insurance companies and investment
mm-hmm.
companies, how they trained you. Because I was involved with that. I even went for a series tests... So I know how you're brainwashed into the laws and into the corporate concept of,
mentality
of money
mm-hmm.
and so on. And the whole idea is you're selling an intangible. You know, you're basically selling intangibles. Are you selling insurance or are you selling
a blip on a screen?
It's a blip, yeah. And so you have to be converted into a believer in the system, all right, in order to be able to sell it.
Yeah, but the system is not believable anymore because it's being exposed for what it is. It's like the veil has been lifted from it.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And people are seeing it for it is. It drives them crazy because they're losing. They have no control on it.
Well, it's no different than this. I was talking to an editor yesterday when I was working on my book, and she used to be a reporter for a newspaper, and she couldn't stand politics. She did, you know, and my whole book is about politics. I said, well, why did you get turned off to being a reporter?
Change careers, yeah.
And she says, well, I just couldn't stand the corruption. I couldn't stand the reporting on things and not getting them, not being able to write about certain things and being censored. And she says, and that was just in the newspaper business. She says, it's worse, you know, in other media. And I laughed because I said, well, this is exactly what this book is against. okay, is that kind of censorship? I said, I have a whole article, a whole chapter on censorship, as well as one on, you know, the media. So, but what I'm getting at is that her full sense of reality, where at one time she was an aggressive reporter thinking she was doing the right thing, and then she became a very cynical one and got out of the business because she didn't like doing it anymore.
Well, we realized that our close friend was a reporter for a regional newspaper. And she was reporting on different things, and her articles were cut or they weren't printed, and she realized that there were certain things that were out there that needed to be reported on that would never appeared in the paper at all.
Right, and so she started.
She finally got the axe anyway, and she started her own blog, and she got hired by another paper
magazine,
who had a philosophy closer to her. To her, a personal philosophy,
right.
And she's much happier. But she was pretty upset about what had happened.
Yeah,
I don't blame her.
She had been there for a long time.
And she put her heart and soul into her articles and done some great work.
And part of her, part of that, she did an article on us. Remember, on the show that we did on a particular show with Keith Snow there. Remember? And she by promoting us.
And other things
that were related to us in some way, that she wound up getting that, she wound up getting in trouble, even though they printed the article, all right, in the page. The flack, I guess they got flack from it afterwards, and she got flack from it after it was printed, and it didn't make much sense to why they did it, but. There was
a separation of philosophy between the owner and publisher of that particular paper and this reporter.
That's right.
And that's what happened, you know, that's what's happened on,
constantly,
say,
yeah.
For instance, with Lou Dobbs, who's a more nationally known figure who has a talk show. He and the president of that network did not see eye to eye in a lot of things, and so he left. Or it was in an agreement where... You know, you're either going to get fired or you leave. I don't know what it was, but anyway, he's not there anywhere.
Resign now.
But that happens a lot of times.
So the reason, I don't know why I got on that subject, but I was trying to. It was because we are dealing with this every day. Once we lose a guidepost, okay. Or that familiar surrounding, or that familiar thing that we held dear, all of a sudden, where we're lost, you know, we're lost, and that is what Lungle was saying. As everything starts to collapse around you, you're not going to have any. You won't have any more signs to deal with. The signs won't be there, or they'll be torn down, or they'll be gone, or whatever.
Well, the signs aren't important.
Anymore, right?
Just like right now, the news is being reported. You know, you have about 100 different definitions of what's going on with Tiger Woods and his wife and girlfriends and everything else. But people really just don't care anymore.
No.
And you know, it's not a matter of holding the readers or the public's attention. You know, they've seen enough of the shenanigans, and they don't want to be bothered with it.
That's right.
I wish that were true, but I don't think that's so, George.
No?
No, I don't, because every time you turn on the TV, it's being mentioned. Or
well, that doesn't...
The media wants you to know about it, but, I mean, you don't really want to... I don't care anymore about it. Lila doesn't care anymore about it. It's like the guy paid his fine. You know, he's got a domestic... problem.
Let his wife figure it out.
It's not, you know, it's a big deal. The guy's not fucking Superman.
He's just a good golfer. I mean, that's all.
He's a human being. So
I mean, he was stupid and arrogant, and I think he's going to pay for it, and she should give him the toss and take his money and run.
That's right. In the meanwhile, we should hear what's going on with the president, with him abroad, and with his activities instead of, you know, this... this smut type of news that's being reported.
Correction.
And the time that's being spent with it. You know, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But this is all the time. I mean, we had months or at least weeks of Michael Jackson. Oh, my God, I thought he was moving into my living room.
Uh-huh.
Every time I turned on the TV, he was there. I felt like he was sitting beside me.
Yeah, it's true. It became obnoxious.
It was almost like an obsession.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before that, I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody else that they were obsessed with.
Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, and Ryan.
Yeah, well, Farrah Fawcett was another big celebrity
thing. Not so much for her. She died at the same time as Michael Jackson.
But he overshadowed her.
But before that, it was somebody else. I mean, they're obsessed with certain figures, and they just work it to death.
Of course.
Exploit them.
Because it's ratings. It's a ratings game.
But what I'm trying to bring back is the fact
that... Is that craziness?
Yeah. Everything is crazy.
Don't you think that's crazy?
People hold on to an image of crazy Michael, all right, because he was such a wonderful guy, all right?
Well, but he wasn't.
But he was a pedophile and he was crazy, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a sad, sad figure. But why people, you know, idolized him and still idolize him and worship him, basically... is beyond me, but that's a form of madness again.
That I see.
No, they idolized him because of the money that he had and the wealth and the populace.
Of course.
He had that. He had everything.
That I see as madness. To me, that is madness to admire someone who is such a tragic, and I see him as a tragic figure.
Yeah, I mean, the guy had a clown face, for crying out loud.
It was so sad.
After 100 surgeries. I mean, he just, what was he?
He was tragic.
Yeah, he was tragic. A very tragic figure.
That's how I saw him.
And it would go down in history as that.
A very sad person.
You know, other people would see that differently. That's part of the battle wounds of earning his populace, you know, and his name.
Well, isn't that the madness of it all when people don't
see
the tragedy of his existence?
That's right.
I mean, in reality, that man may have made a lot of money, but he had a terribly sad life.
Yeah.
So it was a very sad existence for someone, I think.
Yeah.
He had a lot of heavy burdens in his life,
but aside from sadness.
But aside
from that, all right? He had a lot of good drugs that he could do whatever he wanted to. He had all the money in the world. He could do whatever he wanted to. So he offset his tragedy, his sadness, by his fantasy.
But not in a healthy way.
Well, let's look again. Let's go back to fourth dimensional reality, multiple realities. Okay, multiple dimensional realities. Was Michael Jackson living in an altered state in a fourth dimension?
Without a doubt.
He was. He didn't have any. It's like he was a spirit in a mask, you know, and just performing and doing what he did and finding ways to stay in that other outer dimension.
It was very simple, and it was the wealth that he was able to draw to himself that gave him that ability to do that. And that's the only thing that's holding people back from doing the same thing. It's the wealth and the money to do it. Michael had it, and he did it.
Right.
But that isn't the fourth dimension. That's just high.
No, that is the fourth dimensional in play.
I don't believe that.
Well, it's a dream come true, and it's a waking dream that goes on, and that's what the Neverland was all about.
Or high.
Think about that.
No, I don't agree with you.
Okay.
I think that's ridiculous.
All they are doing is they're living in an altered state.
It doesn't mean it's the fourth dimension. It just means they're drunk.
It could be a lower level of the third.
That I would agree with.
And there's
perhaps
lower levels of fourth dimension as well.
I do not think that's a higher level of living.
Well, it's a different level of living. It's not a higher level.
It's a different.
Well, you said fourth dimension. That I don't see it as that.
It's.
Well, look at the fourth dimensional as, let's say, an emotional experience instead of a mental experience.
Yeah.
The third dimension is a mental state. The fourth dimension is a dream state. So look at it as being, it's an emotional body, it's an emotional motivation instead of an ethical motivation.
Right.
Or a logical explanation of followance.
Right. It's releasing yourself to the oneness of your the higher levels, like Maria would always say, to the highest and best,
I agree with releasing yourself to the highest and best, but if you're drunk or not or in an altered state, that isn't the highest and the best of anything that you can do.
No,
make.
Going to the best, okay, going to the highest and best is where you are. Like, for instance,
that's only a matter of preference. There is no better one better than the other, than what it.
Lungo mentioned it as the zone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When you're in the, he went to great extent talking about how athletes are prized for their. For their ability to stay in the zone.
That's really hyper focusing.
That's what.
Or sticking to your intent. The intent and your focus.
It's hyper focusing.
Hyper focusing.
Mm-hmm.
Hyper focus.
Right.
That's what fourth dimensional reality.
That's what
is.
Babies do. That's why they learn so much so fast.
See, and we're the same way. But we people who do hyper focus will get, it will absorb a great deal of will create a much faster, much more than if they're not focused. That's obvious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he's saying is that those that will survive this period of time, all right, are those that can stay in the zone and hyper-focus on the and visualize, have the visualization and to complete whatever it is that they want to.
I want to make clear that being an alcoholic or a drug addict does not get you hyper-focused.
No.
Perhaps taking some kind of artificial stimulant can release something, but when you become an addict, that's gone.
No, I agree with you. And
so you have to be very careful what you say about that, I think.
Okay. Well, let's do away with that, because we're not talking about being drugged up to get there. We're just talking about being hyper-focused, which we do all the time.
Well, you do that through meditation.
No, you don't.
You can?
You can, but you don't.
It's a good way to learn it.
But to identify where that fourth dimension is like when you are trying to figure, okay, during the course of a day, you are in and out of third and fourth dimension constantly. And I'll tell you why. Because every time that you focus, let's say you have a memory.
Mm-hmm.
And that memory, and you focus upon that memory, where are you?
You're in the past.
That's right. But you're focused on this memory, right? And this memory takes
which
you.
Which could, of course, not be accurate.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's accurate or not. The fact is you're having this memory. So
mm-hmm.
What it's doing is changing your focus and changing your, actually even changing your reality. Because now you're looking at it from, looking at something totally from inside
mm-hmm.
yourself as opposed to outside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you just have, it's like your mind is flashing a projector against your skull,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to something you've seen.
So what's your point?
Well, my point is that is part of that fourth dimensional reality.
Why is that part of a fourth dimension? I don't see that as part of a fourth dimensional reality.
Let me explain this, because fourth dimensional reality, or fourth dimension, is becoming hyper-focused or becoming
why
aware.
Why isn't it part of the third dimension? Because I am in third dimension.
No,
I've been doing it forever.
But you're not. You haven't. You have been. In order for you to hyper focus, George, you can step in here anytime and correct me.
I'm trying to follow a lead in here.
Yeah, but when you're hyper focused, if you're in a zone for something, everything else in the world everything. The beauty of this is that everything that you do, all right, it gets done. Everything is done. No matter whatever you do, when you're hyper-focused on it, it gets done. It's completed because you can see from the beginning to the very end of it, and you can see it get done, all right?
Then you have to translate that to action.
Exactly. But first, it's in your head, all right?
That's true about everything.
I know, but at the same time, in your head is not third dimension. in your head is multiple dimension.
Okay, well, see, I don't agree with that.
Those thoughts are somewhere, right? You got plenty of thoughts in your head, and they don't all connect at the same time.
I don't agree with that.
But if you take one thought, okay, and you bring it to fruition, then what you're doing is you're creating that thought, creating it in a third-dimensional description for it to come true. And then as you do that, once you have it in your mind, we've done this constantly.
So it's a third dimension. No, it doesn't make it a fourth dimension.
No,
it just makes it what it is.
No, you're focusing in. You are living in an unreal dimension when you're putting this together.
That's not true.
But once you've got it set in your mind the way it's going to be, then you go. That's called visualization.
Yeah, well, it's,
and the visualization you can understand.
It's done in the third dimension. That's where I am. It's not fourth dimension, Leo. There's nothing about what you said that makes it fourth dimension in my mind.
Because you don't understand what fourth dimension is.
Well, let me try to explain fourth dimensional from my perspective.
Okay.
And you know, let's just try to keep it very simple. Let's say of driving a car, taking a vacation, from your basic initial intent, what you want to do is you want to go on a vacation and enjoy yourself, experience yourself.
Uh-huh.
Now, in just driving in your car in the highway,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be, takes a lot of mental thrust, you know, just to do that, to get in a car and go someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between just going someplace or experiencing that drive and going someplace. It's not only the thought of what you want to do once you get to your destination, but it's the journey there that gives you the experience of a fourth dimensional illusion, if you'd want to call it that.
Now, tell me why that's a fourth dimension. Oh, you said illusion. You didn't.
Illusion in a sense of let's say driving on the highways and getting lost within the scenery and the beauty that you see while you're driving.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's an illusion of experiencing, experiencing the trip instead of just riding on a trip. So the fourth dimension is the experience of the trip.
Gotta stop, George, because you lost me. You're talking about I'm driving along and I'm getting lost in the beauty of the scenery.
That's okay. Right. It's different from just driving along and being hypnotized by the road and following the normal patterns you would do in driving a car, but in breaking away from that drudgery of driving, you can get lost within your imagination as you're driving and experience a reality in your trip.
Well, some people would call that almost multitasking. You drive.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you're doing, but that's living within the fourth dimension. It's like playing an instrument, playing a saxophone.
Stop right there. You said that's living in the fourth dimension.
Experiencing the fourth dimension.
Tell me why that is.
Why
is it fourth dimension and not just a third dimensional experience? Because I've done that all my life.
You're experiencing the event instantly,
mm-hmm.
instead of waiting for the experience or the experience to come to you. Let's say at the end of the trip, you're able to experience it as you're experiencing the whole event instead of being locked up in the time or the illusions of your past experiences. Or you're wanting future experiences. It's living and experiencing what you're experiencing at that moment instead of a fictional view of it.
Well, how is that any different from driving along and listening to music while you're driving?
Well, nothing. Nothing.
That's
but it's living, it's enjoying the music as you're traveling, but that's where your focus is, or that's the fourth dimension, not the driving.
Define that as to why it's the fourth dimension. I don't understand why it's not the third dimension, listening to music while you're having a split focus.
All right, it's like playing a saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
You could play the saxophone and music will flow out of the horn,
mm-hmm.
But if you have to remember which fingers to move to get the certain sounds for each note, then you lose this simplicity of the flow of the music that that will excite you emotionally, not mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is having to focus on how you're making the music, you're focusing on the music itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're not focusing on driving the car, you're focusing on the journey by listening to the music in your journey.
And absorbing the scenery outside.
Well, that's all right, but you're living or you're experiencing it from an emotional perspective, not from a mental perspective.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's where you get lost. Where
let's go to sleep, for instance. If we go to sleep, physically we are just laying there.
Right.
Okay?
No, the body is operating, even though we're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing and your heartbeat.
No,
those are all taking place.
But physically, we're laying there
mm-hmm.
in our sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we except for the occasional move over or whatever, then the roll over, that we're sleeping. So we sleep for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So if you sleep for 8 hours and your mind is totally unconscious now.
Well, the conscious mind is asleep.
Yeah, the conscious mind
is resting.
Is resting. But the subconscious mind never sleeps. It's always moving.
Alert.
And that is your fourth dimensional reality there, because it takes you beyond the conscious of your conscious awareness into another dimension. That's your gateway. A lot of ancients have said that it was when your mind would be the Akashic record would be like a computer,
mm-hmm.
and you're downloading everything
mm-hmm.
into the Akashic record. And then you start off fresh the next day, and that's how that's been stated. But that is your gateway to fourth dimensional.
Okay, you used a different word there.
Okay.
You used the word gateway into
okay.
the fourth dimension.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me than saying. You see, it was the words that you used which were not clear.
Okay, because a gateway
is very different. Yes, that is,
right.
I agree with you, that is
right.
the gateway.
Yeah, because, and the gateway to fourth dimensional existence is through the pineal gland.
Correct.
Which is through the third eye.
I agree with that.
And that.
Or through the emotional body or the
But that's
emotion.
I believe that must be the pineal, that pineal gland.
That vestigial.
Yeah, that's
what
stimulates it, is that emotional, because you really do get absorbed into that state once you or through that gateway if you are in an emotional moment.
But it depends on who's motivating that pineal gland or where the energy is coming from. If it's coming from a mental state or from an emotional state, and here it comes from either the mind or the heart.
Yeah.
Well, it has to come from the heart.
Excuse me?
It would have to come from the heart.
No, that's not true.
You think it's from the mind, too?
Sure.
Because that really counteracts what you've said in the past.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's not in agreement with what you've said in the past.
Well, they're both active. It's a matter of which one you use as the focus.
So your emotional or your intellectual can open it.
My feeling was, from what you've said in the past, that the intellectual mind is an impediment to the gateway to the fourth dimension. And that's one of the reasons why people have used mind-altering drugs, just exactly because what it says, mind-altering, because that opens that gateway. Would you disagree with that?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't disagree with that, no.
Okay. That's why I thought that maybe I misunderstood you.
I'm getting confused, I think, just talking about this right now.
It's
splitting up between the third dimension and the fourth dimension, even though they're both a product of the same thing. They're expressing the need for the third dimension. And the fourth dimension is just an elaborated flux of the thought without the restrictions of third-dimensional restrictions, like gravity or speed or so forth.
But the difficulty, and I write about that in that article, is that the difficulty is when you emerge from that third to fourth dimension,
right?
And you have what
you went through that gateway.
But the problem is you're carrying with you third-dimensional concepts, whereas when in the fourth dimension you're free of those restraints.
That's right. You're free of time or the time limitations.
You don't have to have this body or this these things around you because you're in a spirit form. You can have them instantaneously just by thinking.
But you wouldn't want them, I guess.
No, you would probably still want them because they have some need for you. But
well, you would have to have some attachment to it.
And then you go out of it as you progress through the fourth dimension, as you did through the third, because there are different overtones, negative overtones to the third dimension and positive overtones to the third dimension. And what you do is once you go beyond, I think there's three overtones above.
I really don't understand that part.
The three overtones before the harmonics before to the fourth dimension is where you arise. We're there now. Okay, because we understand if you are just by being here and discussing this, okay, and trying to make rational sense out of it, identifies to our audience and to ourselves that we're already in a state higher than normal third dimensional reality because we're thinking about fourth dimensions, right? And you know what I mean? So you obviously are at a higher level of consciousness.
I hope so.
But all right, but it's not only thinking of fourth dimension, it's experiencing fourth dimension. That's the emotional aspect. You can think fourth dimension. You can only experience emotionally fourth dimension.
Right, because
in third-dimensional reality, you'd restrict it by time or by a location or by the gravity of what makes it up.
I state this in that article that fourth dimensional reality is full emotional fulfillment. Once you have achieved full emotional fulfillment, right,
then
you'll be elevated to fourth dimension.
And what's above that?
Then who knows after that? But it's just a matter of continual rise until you get closer and closer to the one.
To God.
Are closer to the oneness of being, and that which is God, going back to your Creator. And
well, that's after the fourth dimension. There, you know, it's
the fifth dimension. Sixth, there's 13 dimensions actually.
Really?
13 heavens.
Oh my God, we have a long way to go.
So,
right now, this third and fourth dimension, it's disassociating the polarity of consciousness that we're locked into, and that's part of this third-dimensional reality, or this third-dimension
Third-dimensional reality is actually breaking up right now. That's what's happening. It's falling apart.
Without a doubt, because we don't need it anymore.
Oh, and I remember Preston said that...
Preston
said that the... and for those of you who don't know, that's just somebody who...
A friend
who
of George's.
Was at psychic...
Preston Nichols.
Yeah.
He said that the... What he channeled was that what he saw and what he understands from all of the scientific data that's happening is that the Earth and everything is actually falling in on itself. It's an imploding.
He said that.
It's an implosion.
What do you think about that, George? I always meant to ask you about that. Do you remember Preston saying that?
Yes.
What do you?
It's like a giant black hole. We're being sucked into it. And even our consciousness itself, what we're experiencing is the drive of our consciousness or the flux of our consciousness.
What do you think about that being sucked inward? Do you think that's possible?
Sure, without a doubt. I mean, we've come to a point where expanding the outside world, And geez, we've gone to the moon. Now, where do you go after you reach your ultimate? Actually, what you do is you revert back into yourself again and go back to the beginning or where you started from. It's like the golden mean spiral. You have a spiral going one way, but you also have a spiral going back to the beginning and starting again. That's what's happening with us, where what we're doing is that we're winding down, in a sense, the experiences that we've experienced by the exploding of consciousness of going to the moon. And now what we've done is that we're coming back into ourselves again, and we're coming to a point of awareness which will show us a new experience, less than what we've experienced through the last trip or through the last experience. And in order for us to experience it, we have to just like wind back down into a mode where our awareness will take us in a different direction.
Right.
And it's part of the ascension process where you're imploding upon yourself for another, let's say, explosion of consciousness or of drive of experience. And that's where this 2012 is coming from. What we're doing is we're imploding to a point where we'll come to back to the beginning again, and then we'll start unraveling or continuing in the opposite direction. It's like being drawn into our black hole, but after we're drawn into the black hole, we're shot back out again in a new Big Bang, but the restriction that we will be in is not going to include three-dimensional realities or the restrictions that we have now of, let's say, living within this box or this universe, if you'd want to call it that. It's hard to believe that we are living in a box, that in this box is the universe that we're told about, but that's only a small fraction of the real reality that we're experiencing.
But you know what? When we saw The Matrix, that poor guy never really got out of it, did he?
He's a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But the guy had the, but the problem was, is that the problem with the whole problem with The Matrix, I thought, was that even though they understood that there was machines and all this stuff, and a few of them got out of it. None of them had evolved except Neo or whatever his name was, Nemo, to be able to go higher than that. And even then, he had to die in order to get reborn again, okay? Get to that higher level, which is what he was saying. George was saying, you die, go into yourself, die, and then get blown back out again, all right, into another dimension.
Be interesting to see if they come out with another movie.
But somebody's going to have to live there. But I think they wrote themselves into a horror show. They can't write themselves out of it. But
it
was a good idea, the whole thing. But then after the third one, it was
kind of fell apart because it was interesting, I thought.
It went nowhere as far as that. Mm-hmm. It was kind of depressing.
Because I was thinking about it.
But I think that where that fell apart is that we are, we transcend all that. I mean, we're transcending beyond anything that's
I hope you're right.
And once we go into that spiritual body, then we, our own bodies, as we merge back and forth, like in memory and in dreams and in thoughts and in focus and so on, we're constantly going in and out of that fourth dimension because we're already on the higher levels. When you're down in the lowest levels, the guttural levels, the lowest levels of your third dimensional existence, then you don't have that ability to you have to rise a few more levels in order to get to a little higher level of enlightening thought. It takes knowledge, it takes meditation, it takes faith, it takes all of these things. But once you're there, then it just, I think, once you've been there, once you have actually consciously crossed over, then you just perpetuate that hyper focus on going through the gateway, going through going into that fully.
I can't think of it the way you and George think of it at all.
Well, you want to be absorbed by it. That's the whole concept.
I know, but I think of it more in the way, and I can't help it. It just was so meaningful to me, the way Sakyatrism described life.
Getting off the samsara. Right?
Yeah. Through wisdom and compassion.
And that is exactly the balance you need in order to go to that higher level.
I can't think of it the way, it's not meaningful the way you describe it to me.
Well,
I know what George describes for him, it's meaningful, but what you describe for you, it's meaningful. For me, it's trying to get off the samsara wheel using wisdom and compassion. And to live a better way each time. And that's how I see it.
Yeah, and that's what...
Well, how do you do that, Lola? Lila?
How do you do that?
How do you do that?
Well, by seeing the patterns that you have in your life and trying not to repeat those dysfunctional bad patterns through wisdom, but always living your life in a compassionate way.
But what about that? What about those times you can't... you can't dig up the compassion that you need, or you would want.
And you stay on that wheel.
And you stay on the wheel, yeah. You stay on the samsara wheel, the wheel of sorrow. And you keep reincarnating.
On that same wheel.
On that wheel until you come back.
Until you conquer those things in your life that you need to conquer.
Right, and then once you've done that, you can jump. You can get off that wheel. And become enlightened and become like...
Well, yes, but how do you conquer that wheel? And by conquering it, what is your reward?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life? You already have that.
No, without sorrow, without pain.
No. Well, that's only an expression of the third dimension. That's all. That's not permanent in consciousness. That's only third-dimensional reality.
The way they see it is you no longer have to reincarnate. You no longer have to come back. You are, because at that point you are free, a free soul, okay, and you've reached the spiritual level.
Well, no, you're a free soul even before that, but what you have to understand, you're locked into three dimensions. So
all that you're given in this world to better yourself, you're using your wisdom and your heart. And when you use those in the fullest way possible, then you rise.
And then you also have, what have you done?
But you're using them with a polarity focus, because there's two aspects, not one.
But we're in a polarity shift right now. That's going to that negativity or that dark side will no longer will have changed. That whole thing will be changing. And even Lungo states that everything now has to be done in order to rid mankind and the planet and whatever our existence from evil. And that evil meaning the negative ways of existence.
And not using wisdom, not compassion.
That's right. Having compassion and wisdom and enlightened. Enlightenment, and once you have that, then you move on to the next.
Then you transcend.
Then you transcend to the next dimension.
That's how I see it.
And he's saying that it won't just be individual. It's going to be generational. It's going to be big, because people. But this stuff is going to happen, and it's going to happen.
He's a Buddhist, and he was the first Buddhist teacher that I ever heard.
Yeah,
the only one I ever heard, and he just moved me in a way that no other figure ever has.
Really?
Yeah, he meant.
That's interesting because he
spoke to my heart.
Yeah, we were allowed to film that teaching and we put it on television and so on, but it's the amazing part about it is that yes, he touched on that samsara wheel and. And I understand that what happens to us that you are continually reincarnating yourself, okay? You are continually incarnating. and reincarnating and coming back because you haven't fulfilled the destiny that you were.
Some of us are slower than
some
others.
You haven't reached that level. And you come back, you do whatever it is, and then you pay it for it again and until you wake up and realize that you've had so many past lives and you learn from those lives. And
well, right. When you say wake up, Leo, what do you wake up from? The fact of the experience or the fact that the experiences that you have are all one?
The illusion. The illusion that you create because you're walking in, an illusion.
Like,
okay, so let's say after you've experienced or experienced that this is an illusion, what do you do?
I don't understand.
I missed that, yeah.
Well, the idea of the illusion, once you experience or understand that what you're experiencing is an illusion, where do you take it? Where do you go from there?
Well,
that is what the third dimensional reality is all about.
Right.
It's an illusion, but it's an illusion by experiencing both worlds. And both those two worlds are really one world.
Because you have symbols in this world that transcend to the next.
No, because we are dual in nature, and it is part of the reality that we're born into, positive and negative, right and left.
Well, someone said that those who control the symbols
mm-hmm.
control the power of man, they control mankind. So. In other words, the symbols are created, there's magic behind these symbols.
Sure.
And what they do is they distract us or
so they affect
instruct
you on
us.
A subliminal
yeah,
level.
Exactly. They affect you on a subliminal level. And so the way that they control them, either they manipulate them through television or through street signs or through building architecture or whatever they are, wherever they are, those symbols or those signs are designed to create a reaction or create a block or a distraction to your own to your enlightenment.
Yeah, all right. I understand what you're saying, but is that really true?
I think it is because certain things will distract you and will. Either create your focus on them or distract your focus to something more important.
Well, for instance, a distraction can be you get taken up with drug or alcohol abuse. That can be a distraction to your development.
Yeah.
And if you fall victim to that, then you can't use wisdom to accomplish
break away
from it. Because you're drugged.
No, I don't agree with that. I've got to come back to understand consciousness here on this dimensional level. You know, I'm holding my reality together, and I have no doubts in my mind that this is the power that I have as a sentinel being. I have power upon myself to live within this reality, and I do. And that's why I survive. And just like you survive in your reality, you've learned to live in this three-dimensional reality. But understand that this is only an experience, a soul experience that we experience, and this is only temporary. This doesn't last forever. And understand that this expression... this duality expression that we experience in this life is only temporary, that one is not better than the other than one is just an expression of the other. So in getting lost within this world, understand that we can rise above this, just like reincarnation and karma was only brought into our culture 15,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was brought in for the souls who really felt that there was no relief for them, that they needed some kind of relief for the future to break out of this hideous spell of three-dimensional of three-dimensional of lock-in jail type world.
Yeah. All right. So what? So what I want to do is I want to describe to the people, to the listeners, or to those who aren't aware of a fourth dimensional existence, how to identify it. And I feel like I have. I feel like I understand where it is, and I thank you, George, for showing it to me. Is that you exist in it through a total emotional fulfillment, right? And being in the zone. If you can stay in the zone on any issue or any project or anything that you desire, it will eventually manifest itself to you. Okay, as soon as you can visualize the thing. And bring it, you're visualizing it in your fourth dimensional existence, in your mind, in your displacement. We're the only animal on the earth that can use displacement as displacement. That and our thumb differentiate us from all other species. But the fact that we can project and visualize what we're going to do before we do it, to create it in our minds first, right? That's living in a fourth dimensional reality. You're not in a third dimension. You're creating your third dimension in your mind. Okay, you're creating.
Yeah, but your mind is creating that third dimensional reflection of that.
Do is you think of it in your head.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're hungry. You need food. You want food.
Start bringing life to it, and layers to it, and layers to it, and life to it, until finally it all becomes part of your reality, your third dimensional reality.
Right, you sit down and have a piece of chocolate cake.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're sitting, but if you're already, the thing is that if you're already in your fourth dimension, you're already seeing that, all right, why do we have to go back down to the third dimensional reality?
To eat it.
To eat it, yeah.
Okay.
Go back down to eat it. You're up there, you got to go down to eat.
Right.
But the thing is that why can't we... If we our physical bodies can't transcend, okay? They're locked into a
That's
physical
right.
reality, all right? But our minds can, and our minds will leave our bodies, okay? And that's what all religions say.
Mm-hmm.
But our minds
no, not our mind, our souls.
Our souls leave
it's
our bodies,
difference.
Yeah. Leave our bodies and take on
different.
Other bodies or go out into
the intellect is actually an impediment.
Again, okay, there you go.
Okay.
Being in the emotional fulfillment, having total emotional fulfillment, all right, is being in the zone, okay? Being purely hyper-focused, purely in the zone where everything is like, for that moment, it's like sex, it's like orgasm, it's like whatever that perfect moment is, okay, in your mind. That is the fourth dimensional exist. That's your fourth dimension. And however you try to create or continue that feeling, all right, is what kind of success you'll have in your life. There's a false illusion.
And that's why when living within the zone, after a while, the zone is going to become old materials, and you're not going to gravitate toward that zone. You're going to find new zones.
We got 9 seconds left before we lose our sound, so we want to thank everybody. And you can call in in the next second and stay on the line. But the show has ended. For sound, we're not streaming any longer. So, but it is recording. So, I'm sorry, George, but I'm sorry I had to interrupt you on that.
Well, that's okay.
agree with me, and I agree. I know I agree with you because I saw it, and I understand it in the emotional fulfillment sense of it. Once you've achieved some form, and it's fleeting. Emotional fulfillment can be fleeting. It can be full. One that you can have it for a minute, you can have it for an hour, you can have it for a day, but, you know, every single day is very difficult to have that in a third dimensional state. But as you rise and as you progress into your other dimensional existence and the fourth dimensional existence, that all leaves you. All care, all worry, all everything care leaves you, because it's like being washed, and it's like walking into a cloud, walking into a mist, you know.
Maybe.
And it just cleans you, and you're and everything is done. Everything for everything you've ever
wanted is complete. Well,
that's what
I'm not sure that
mind.
We know that.
Well, think of it this way: people that can create great wealth, all right,
mm-hmm.
great businesses. How did they do that? They thought it in their heads. They thought it. They thought about it.
They were born a Rockefeller.
Yeah, or
yeah, you know, I'm looking at now at this pandemic, which
what?
Is winding down.
Oh, the pandemic, yeah.
The pandemic, that you know, it's no longer
a
large social issue. It's like winding down, and things are people are losing interest in it.
Yeah, but that's not the only problem. Is it's happening big time in Europe right now. All right, and we're being our news is completely and utterly censored here
and isolated.
All right, I mean there are breakouts all over Europe. It is a pandemic, and the World Health Organization just is not putting out the information it should, and this is all part of this damn global population reduction, you know, and they know the vaccines aren't working.
Huh.
All right, and people don't want the vaccine, so what do? They threw a completely deadly virus out there, and it's sweeping Europe right now. So,
we'll
and we're
happens.
Not hearing about it, right?
Well, you don't hear too much about it here, Leo.
No,
you don't. No, you don't. You have to. You really have to look to find it, and you have to go to websites, and you have to go to Infowars.com, excellent
mm-hmm.
site. PreventDisease.com, very
or
good
David
site.
Icke.
David Icke, it's.com. These people are digging into it. Some of them are doctors that are writing these things and health officials.
Theactualnews.com.
People that are whistleblowing from the, you know, the.
Well, there may be whistleblowers out there,
yeah.
but
right.
if nothing, they're releasing, you know, the fear of maybe the threat that that is held over our heads.
Well, it's
and,
there.
You know, this pandemic is just one, but.
It's there, George, but by no one talking about it and no one saying anything about it or alerting people to it, they walk right by. I mean, they could
it's
be
It's sort of
a,
like if you listen to the mainstream news, you wouldn't even think we were in war in Iraq.
That's right.
It's
right?
Like nobody mentions it. They just talk about Afghanistan
yeah.
once in a while.
We got 140,000 people over there, and you might it wasn't even mentioned in the presidential speech. It was like we weren't even at war there. Right.
What are they sending 40,000 more troops to Afghanistan now?
30,000 more to Afghanistan. They've already sent 20,000 in the last 6 months, right? But now they couldn't.
And they don't tell you about the special people that are paid by private security firms.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like Blackwater. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't talk about how many of those people are there.
Right.
So there are many more people there than what you would guess.
Right.
And if say they stopped all that and those people came back, where are they going to get a job?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment rate would be at 25%.
And if you look at all the recruits, okay, that they show on TV, most of these recruits are between 18 and 24.
Yeah.
And now they're getting up around 30 and so 35 because
there's been no jobs.
Yeah, losing their jobs, so they're going into the military. So they need something for these guys to do. But
one of the reasons Obama's not bringing them back is because then what is he going to do with the unemployed? Where are they going to get a job?
It's not just that, but what are they going to do with these guys? Right? What are they going to do with them?
They're
going to
come back angry, frustrated. So, it's really a double-edged sword, anyway.
Yeah.
But it was nice having a conversation with you, George. Really?
I'm enjoying this sixth night, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to fall.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my problem because I'm waiting for something that, you know, may not happen, or it may be sidestepped, or maybe there's some benevolence coming out of this, maybe from an area that we just can't see right now.
And maybe it's not going to happen in the way that your mind thinks it will.
Well, that's true, too. And, in fact, you know, the way the people's minds on this 2012 has been turned around, you know, this is not a bad time. It's a good time. And this is not the the end of the world like everybody is predicting, or a lot of people are predicting.
Yes, but the thing is, George, you know, the reason we say that is because we really, really don't want to believe, we don't want to think of such a horror catastrophe, you know, to the world.
Well,
but at the same time,
whenever there's an end, there's always the beginning.
Yeah, but if there is,
that's right.
I mean, we've been living on borrowed time as it is. I mean, well, no, the world has been is constantly in motion and
Who says it's borrowed time? I mean, what makes you think that any of these people know any more than you or George or I do? They don't.
I'm saying every single day that we live, okay, and not die, all right, is probably a good day, all right. But the problem is that unless you see it from the perspective of it being the Earth being able to have a volcano or quicksand or accident or a trillion different things could happen to you down here. That's not even your fault. You have nothing to do with it. All these people that get killed and die in crashes, they don't know it, or avalanches or whatever the hell it is, earthquakes.
That's because
these things can happen.
That's because we're all part of a whole. That's because the way we've been schooled to think is that we're all separate, and we aren't. We belong to this whole reality. We belong to the Earth. We belong to the volcano. We're part of it.
But not all of us die or live at the very same time.
Well, no, you know, it's like the show. It's like the planet on Star Trek, where they're going for shore patrol or shore leave. That they go to a planet, and whatever they can imagine is being played out on this planet. I mean, if you want to be fantasize, let's say the King of the Round Table, or was it King Arthur in the Round Table?
Arthur.
You're going to experience that. And you know, it's like having a playground where you can do or be anybody you want and experience that. That doesn't mean that's all there is to life. In fact, I think in one episode, McCoy, the doctor there, was killed. And apparently he really wasn't killed, but the story that he was playing out depicted him as being dead, so he died. But, you know, if nothing else, it's a planet that we can fulfill our fantasy in any way we want.
So we're just vibrating on a higher level when we get to that level of higher conscious level. And,
we have the ability inside of us to resonate on that frequency, if you'd want to call it that.
That's exactly
We just have to believe that we could just turn it up and experience it.
That's it. We have to start believing that, because what do we do? First thing we do, instead of believe this fantastic idea, we say, that's impossible. That's not going to happen. That can't be, because, you know, it can't happen.
Well, so, now we can see through that, and we can see that we can go beyond those limits that we are told that we can't go beyond.
Right. So anyway, that's a good place to stop tonight, though, George, I guess.
I agree with you, yeah.
I think we traveled a long way here tonight, and I think we opened the gateway for a few people. But I hope we can talk about, maybe we can extend this till next week on the next show.
All right, we'll extend on the fourth dimension. That sounds like a good focus, yeah.
Okay.
And get us all, both of everybody, up to speed on the fourth dimensional reality.
Well, thanks for being with us, George, and it was nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me, folks, and God be with you.
You too, George. Good night.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. Now, thank you for joining us tonight, Lila, and was feisty tonight as usual.
Well, I like to get these specific.
I thought we did well. I thought we were cleared up. But anyway, if you want, for anybody who's wondering what the hell we're talking about, you could go to my website, the LAStoolShow.org. Check it out. And there's an article right there in the new article, and it's Fourth Dimensional Reality. And you can listen to that or read that. It's not very long, but it explains fourth dimensional reality and what we were talking about tonight, and might be make it a little more clear for you. And please join us next week. It's our last night this week, so next Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Next Wednesday and Thursday. George will be joining us the following Friday. But I want to thank everybody tonight who joined us. And have a pleasant weekend. Good night.